Will members please vote to signify their presence?
Roll show 17 members present. Senators Lincoln and Taylor are excused. McCall was sent this morning.
We have a quorum to do presence. We have a quorum to do business. Would members please stand for the invocation by the Reverend Kathleen Wakefield of the Episcopal Church?
This morning I would like to use a prayer that's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, and I ask your prayers especially for peace in the Middle East. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Senator Ellis, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Hoffman?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, so ordered. Would the Secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify the correctness of the journals for the 40th, 41st, and 42nd legislative days.
Senator Lehman?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal be approved and certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, so ordered. That brings us down to introduction of guests. Senator Hoffman?
Yes, we have some close-up students that are from Senator Lincoln's district. I'd like to help welcome them to the Senate. Please stand as I read your names. From Copper River, I have Cassandra Peterson, Emily Peterson, Jeremy Stranton, Michelle Peterson, Cher Stranton. From Mount Edgecombe, Sandra Varga. From Galena, Alex Crosby, Alex Gaither, Ivana Barrick, Nikki Aker, Shannon Carroll. From Mount Edgecombe, Alice Kangas, Etta Starr Edwardson. Please help me welcome them to the Senate.
Senator Adams.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, have three close-up students and also a superintendent here. I'd like to welcome to Juneau Sonia Lincoln, who's from Tuxedo Bay. I'll be joining welcoming her. Also has Katrina Gomez, who is going to Galena High School from Klobuck. And I also have Lorena Nashuknuk from Barrow, who is also going to Galena. If you'll please help me welcome the students. The superintendent of my school district from North Slope School District, if you'll help me welcome Leland Dishman from Barrow, please.
For the guests, Senator Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have several guests today to introduce on behalf of Senator Taylor, who's not here. He asked that I introduce a couple of his constituents from Sitka, Amelia Emmons Budd and Don Sturgeon, who's a teacher. They will stand and be recognized. Welcome to the Senate. Also a close-up student of mine from downtown Whale Pass, Alaska. Also going to Mount Edgecombe, Lakota Hillis, over there in that gallery. Welcome to the Senate. And also I'd like to, Mr. President, introduce some folks that are here from Craig and Kodiak for the AASB conference that's going on. First of all, from Craig, a very close personal friend of mine, Paul Thibodeau, who is the president of the board, and Craig, along with members Cindy Glore and Nancy Billingsley, who's the superintendent. Also from Kodiak, another friend of mine from for several years now, Norm Wooten, who's here, and Jeff Stevens, board member Pat Jacobson, and Betty Walters, the superintendent. Please help me welcome them all to the Senate.
Senator Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a couple of people down from Fairbanks involved in the close-up project. They're in the Miller Gallery. The student is Sarah Grocott, and the teacher trying to keep track of everyone is John Fink from Lathrop.
Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Also, some close-up students. First, from North Pole, your constituents, I'd like to welcome to the Senate Ms. Julie Lawrith and Mr. Lawrence Stroop, if they would please stand. Welcome into the Senate. Also, a couple of my constituents, Mr. President, welcome to the Senate, Ms. Amber Gross and Ms. Julia Nutter. And we're pleased to have with us, I think, around the corner there in the Ziegler Gallery, the Executive Director of Kids Voting from Fairbanks. Welcome, Mr. Gene Redden.
Other guests. Senator Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I see two other people that I'd like to introduce. Constituent Karen Fallon from Craig, who's joined us as a board member in Craig, and also another of Senator Taylor's constituent in the Senator Ziegler's Gallery, Fred Reeder, who also was one of my teachers in high school and a former basketball coach, if that tells you anything about his age. But he is a retired teacher and has been serving Sitka as a school board member for the last several years. Please help me welcome them as well.
Further guests. Seeing no further guests, that brings us down to messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House.
Message dated February 20. Mr. President, the House has concurred in the Senate amendment to House Concurrent Resolution Number 19, thus adopting Senate CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 19 HES, relating to the Alaska Deaf, Hard of Hearing, and Deaf Blind Council. Message dated February 20. Dear Mr. President, the House has passed and transmitted for consideration House Bill Number 296 by Representatives Bryce, Terrio, and Davies, an act extending the termination date of the Alaska Minerals Commission.
I will refer that to the Finance Committee, as we had a similar bill that was already in resources and has passed out, and we'll catch it up.
Message dated February 20, dear Mr. President, the House has passed Senate Bill Number 63 with the following amendment. House CS for Senate Bill Number 63 Finance, an act providing for automatic waiver of juvenile jurisdiction and prosecution of minors as adults for certain violations of laws by minors who use deadly weapons to commit offenses that are crimes against a person, and relating to the sealing of the records of those minors, and returning for consideration.
Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendment to Senate Bill 63, Finance, thus adopting House CS for Senate Bill Number 63, Finance, and I understand that the Senate sponsor, concurs with the changes made in the House, and I recommend that the members vote yes.
Is there debate? Senator Duncan.
I'd like to object for an explanation.
Senator Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, as this bill left this body, it would have said that the second time a juvenile over 16 committed a felony crime against the person using a deadly weapon, they would be automatically waived to adult court. That would have impacted about 8 juveniles last fiscal year, would have fallen under this automatic waiver provision. With the changes that were made in the other body, it narrowed the focus down so that now the second crime has to be at least a Class B felony crime against the person using a deadly weapon. That raised it under this body's version, it was a Class C or a Class B felony crime against the person using a deadly weapon. And this change, so that now the second triggering crime has to be a Class B felony crime, narrows the focus of this bill to something like 3 or 4 juveniles a year who are the most deadly repeat violent juvenile offenders in the state, and would only waive them if it was a Class B felony instead of being Class C or a Class B felony.
Further debate. Senator Duncan.
Maybe we have a debate.
Senate will stand in peace. Senate will come back to order. Is there further debate? Seeing no further debate, question before the Senate. Shall the Senate concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 63? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the roll. So by a vote of 18 yeas to 0 nays, the Senate has concurred in House amendment, thus adopting House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 63, Finance. Senator Mackey.
Mr. President, I'd move national unanimous consent I be shown as a co-sponsor of Senate Bill 63.
Without objection, Senator, you will be shown as co-sponsor.
Those are all the House messages this morning, Mr. President.
Communications.
The following reports are on file. Alaska legislative report on removal of water from one hydrologic unit to another from Department of Natural Resources in accordance with AS 15, 4615-020B5. Alaska Public Deck 9798 from the Treasury Division, Department of Revenue. Alaska Energy Authority Combined Financial Statements and Schedules from KPMG Marwick, LLP, Independent Auditors. Those are all the communications this morning.
Reports of standing committees.
Rules Committee considered CS for House Bill 137, Labor and Commerce, relating to veterinarians extending the termination date of that board. Signing to calendar, Senator Kelly Chair, Senators Taylor, Lehman, and Torgerson. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 197 relating to health care services, recommends it be replaced with the Rules Committee substitute new title, previous year fiscal note. Signed to calendar, Senator Kelly Chair, Senators Duncan, Taylor, Lehman, and Torgerson. These bills appear on today's calendar. Those are all the standing committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
There are no Senate resolutions for introduction.
Introduction of Senate bills.
There are no Senate bills.
Brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 197 by Senator Donnelly, Taylor, Ellis, and Duncan, enacted related to health care services provided by and practices of a health maintenance organization and prohibiting health maintenance organizations from limiting free speech of health care providers. Has the committee considered the bill? Signed to pass, Senator Wilkins, Chair, Senator Ward. Signed no recommendation, Senator Lehman. Signed amend, Senators Ellis and Green. Rules recommends calendar, recommends the Rules Committee substitute previous year fiscal notes. Signing the report, Senator Kelly Chair, Senators Duncan, Taylor, Lehman, and Torgerson. There is a Rules Committee substitute.
Senator Kelly.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the Rules Committee substitute.
Okay. There is objection.
Senator Donnelly.
Senator Donnelly.
Thank you. In the Rules Committee, Mr. President, Section 3, Part 2 was added. It's the point of service language that was at the request of many medical professionals. It allows the enrollee in a health maintenance organization to, it allows them the option of a point of service plan through their HMO. And it's been something that other states have used to ensure that people have access to other types of coverage through those plans. And the language in our bill is based on the Vermont law, which has been used as the model across the country.
One also added in the Rules Committee.
Senator Hoffert. Thanks. Senator Donnelly.
Yes, I think it was, but that was more of a technical amendment that conformed with the earlier part that I discussed regarding unfair discrimination. Oh, that was also added in the Rules Committee. The initial, that was another Rules Committee version that we came up with later. That's right, I'd forgotten about that part. And that ensures that Section 1 says HMOs can't unfairly discriminate against certain types of health care providers if the patient's insurance covers the medical service in question and the licensed provider is licensed in that particular field. One of the reasons for this is in a certain type of medical service, such as mental health, if it's covered by an insurance policy, the HMO should not discriminate against either a psychiatrist or psychologist. It should, though, cover the services provided by either, as both are licensed to treat mental health under Alaska's occupational licensing laws.
Senator Phillips. Senator Halford.
Just with regard to the adoption of the Rules Committee substitute, I haven't got any objection to the added section added to 3. I do have a problem with the addition of Section 1, but rather than debate it on the adoption of the Rules Committee substitute, I have an amendment that kind of goes to the question, so I'll withdraw my objection to the Rules Committee substitute.
Senator Phillips.
Mr. President, is it appropriate this time to declare a conflict of interest?
Certainly, Senator.
Okay. Mr. President, I want to move that I be refrained from voting on this, any amendments and the bill itself due to opposition by a major health care provider in the state, which they're one of my clients.
Okay.
There is objection, Senator. You will have to vote. Is there objection maintained to adoption of the Rules Committee substitute? Hearing no objection, the Rules Committee substitute has been adopted.
CS for Senate Bill 197, rules relating to health care services provided by and practices of a health maintenance organization, providing that an enrollee in a health maintenance organization has the right to select a treating chiropractor, specifying certain chiropractic health care reports, examination, and limits on treatment, and prohibiting health maintenance organizations from limiting free speech of health care providers. There is an amendment number one by Senator Donnelly, and it's been distributed.
Senator Donnelly.
I move amendment number one. Ask unanimous consent.
Amendment number one has been moved and asked for unanimous consent. Is there objection? Hearing no objection, amendment number one has been adopted.
There is an amendment number two by Senator Halford. It's been recopied because his name wasn't on it, and it will be distributed.
Senator Halford.
Just before I offer the amendment, it's being copied. I would bring members' attention to Section 1. The problem that I have with the bill is that there's no definition of unfair discrimination. The member from Spinard said that he spoke of having a psychologist or a psychiatrist offer medical care for mental illness. The problem is discrimination charging a different fee for someone with a much higher degree of education and a much higher level of cost in the scope of medical practice? I think that's a real concern. That's an example of why I think you need to either define what unfair discrimination is, and we didn't do it the last time we looked at this issue. We had a major debate on the issue before. We never addressed the question of what unfair discrimination was. Now we're again going back and we're adding something else into it. Now, I'm not a real fan of what's trying to be added there either. But I think when we get back to this area, I think we have to face the reality of what the definition of unfair discrimination is. There are differences that are entirely fair, that are legal, that should be recognized. And if you're going to charge the same thing through one provider versus another product provider without any recognition of what the real costs are, I think that's fair discrimination. But it needs to be defined. It can be defined in the reverse as the amendment will propose to do. If there's any comments on that before I offer the amendment, I'd be glad to respond to them.
Senator Donnelly, actually, technically, we do not have a motion before us, so.
The amendment wasn't passed out.
It is now passed out. Every member has it.
The amendment has been passed out. I would move the adoption of amendment number two, then.
There is objection. Senator Donnelly.
Mr. President, Section 1 of the bill that the amendment would apply to adds HMOs to an existing statute that we have prohibiting discrimination. And that existing statute doesn't define unfair discrimination either. So we're adding it to the people that are currently limited, prevented from having unfair discrimination. So this is a... So while the bill itself follows the existing statutory scheme, this amendment is a very significant change from the existing statutory scheme. To define unfair discrimination in this particular way gives me quite a bit of pause and concern, because it is a major change from the status quo, where the existing language in the bill isn't, as the Senator explained. This was an issue that was before the legislature previously, and the legislature did not address, chose not to address it, because of some of the difficulties in trying to put into statute a discrimination, a definition of unfair discrimination. The particular proposal before us in Amendment Number 2, when it identifies cost containment or standards of clinically appropriate healthcare services as an explanation, there was testimony in other committees, or at least discussion, or I've been privy to discussions, that found that very problematic language, in that people can adopt clinical protocols that aren't necessarily justified across lines of medical philosophy. Surgeons may have protocols that are very different than internists, and there can be great disagreements among different types of service providers of what's clinically appropriate, and that this could be used to, in fact, justify unfair discrimination against certain types of services being provided. It may be a clinically appropriate protocol to one class of healthcare provider, and may be very inappropriate to other classes of healthcare providers. To be able to adopt discrimination based on purposes of utilization review and cost containment, if appropriately used, would be fine, but by saying it doesn't include requirements imposed by cost containments can be very targeted discrimination against certain types of providers once again. And I think these kinds of problems are what led the legislature to make the decision when the original language in Section 1 was before us, that it would be a very complex procedure for the legislature to go through to dive in and try to define unfair discrimination in this particular area of healthcare. I have seen some other states that have attempted that, and it was pages and pages long what came out in that attempt in their statutes to try to define this. I don't object to what my understanding of the policy goal of the senator who's offering it is, but I do want to express serious concerns about getting into this process, in that to do this would, I think, literally take pages and pages of new statute to try to narrow it down to where I think the senator my understanding where the senator really wants to go. And that's my concern with trying to address it in this bill at this time.
For the debate, Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't claim that the amendment is perfect by any means. I think the amendment points out what we have to be looking at. You know, we're telling people by law that they have to follow something, and we can't even define it. And the sponsor's telling us that it would take pages and pages to define it. Well, how can they operate in a business environment if we can't define what we're telling them they can't do? I believe that either in the negative, as this amendment proposes, or in the affirmative, we have to define the differences in the kind of discrimination that is justified as part of a rate base, part of saving money for some people and costing money for other people, as providing different kinds of services, different levels of services. If we can't define it, then we have no right at all to mandate it on the private sector.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. President, the bill as written and as titled is a relatively narrow bill defined specifically at health maintenance organizations. I don't care for health maintenance organizations. I don't believe that they serve the public very well. And frankly, there are no health maintenance organizations in Alaska today. There is one major hospital that has some type of an employee group that comes close to it, but that's not a health maintenance organization as is known in the lower 48. So today we have no health maintenance organization. So the legislation as we're looking at it right now is, the reality is that it doesn't affect anybody because there are no health maintenance organizations in Alaska. Now, if somebody wants to come to Alaska and establish a health maintenance organization, they're probably going to have to come back to the legislature and sell us on the fact that this is a good thing for the Alaska public. So the bill doesn't really affect any existing organization right now. However, this particular amendment appears to have some far-reaching policy calls outside of the health organization area, and I suspect that it should be decided through the committee process rather than on the floor of this body. So I'm going to oppose the amendment, but I am willing to take a look at it as it would go through the committee process where we could give it the proper consideration.
Senator Halford.
The committee process that added the section to be amended in the Rules Committee after it had gone through one committee, this legislation has major fiscal implications. It didn't go to the Finance Committee. It went to one committee. It didn't go to the Labor and Commerce Committee. To say that we now can't address something that was added in the Rules Committee,
I think is a rather unique expression.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. President, this amendment wasn't added in the Rules Committee. The only thing we did is put the words Health Maintenance Organization in that particular section. This amendment expands another section of law out which affects more than just health maintenance organizations. Now, that's fine and dandy. It may have some virtue. It may have some public good. But I don't see where it fits in this bill.
Further debate. Senator Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's interesting to see this amendment because I think if you recall, I offered this exact same amendment last year and I got drug into the woodshed over it. So the first thing is I'm very happy that I'm not offering it and having to defend it today. However, I agree actually with the sponsor of this amendment that this is something that's not been defined. I tried to get it defined before. So I guess there's the senator from East Anchorage and the senator to my left have raised some concerns about whether or not it fits in the bill or is appropriate here, but that still doesn't resolve the issue that we never have defined this, this whole issue. So I have to vote for the amendment, even though I agree that, you know, with some of the other comments that are made, we still haven't defined it, and unless we can find a way to define it, I think that we ought to at least look at this.
Senator Donnelly.
My little old bill here about health maintenance organizations is getting a whole other area. I just go back and talk on the amendment that's proposed. First of all, it's very logical what the Rules Committee did. I think what they did was appropriate because Section 1 is the existing law. All we did was make it clear that if we're going to have health maintenance organizations in Alaska, they should follow the same rules that we're imposing upon other types of health-related organizations. So by adding it there, it was very consistent with existing law. It didn't change the policy that was already in the state. It was an appropriate change that was made by the Rules Committee, and I supported it, and I still support it. So that's a defense of what's in the bill now. Amendment number 2, however, takes us into a whole new area of whether or not the status quo is appropriate or not, and whether or not we should dive into that existing statute and define it. And two reasons why I'm hoping the body will vote against Amendment number 2. And it's not because it isn't a good idea to do some work in this area. It's one is because it would significantly change what the intent of this bill is. It would change the focus of this bill away from HMOs to a whole other outstanding question in the healthcare area. And second, it would do it in a way that I don't think is necessarily what we want to do. I don't think the definition that's presented to us in Amendment number 2 is what I would think we'd want to do if we all sat down and really worked on this together. And that's what I would hope that we would have the time to do in a separate vehicle that was focused in on this issue with a title that reflected this issue so the public would know about it and could come and testify on this issue. They haven't had the opportunity to do that because it hasn't been represented in the title of this bill because my bill's not about this subject. So I'd appreciate it if the members would vote no on the amendment.
Senator Lehman, you were seeking the floor.
Yes, Mr. President. I just want to admit that I was the one who offered the amendment that added Section 1 in the Rules Committee, and I believe that that was appropriate. But I also believe that handling the issue of Amendment number 2 is appropriate, and I'm glad the member from Craig clarified that he offered that amendment last year because I was thinking that I had, and I remember certain woodshed times, and maybe we both were taking the woodshed. But since he did, or he admitted that he did, then I'll accept that. But I will note that as chairman of Labor and Commerce Committee, we have worked with the Division of Insurance to try to come up with some definition of what unfair discrimination is and what it isn't. I don't have it in front of me because I didn't realize this was going to be the discussion or much of the discussion today on this, but I remember about a paragraph that's about a third of a page long where they took a cut at it, and if I remember correctly, they said, we're going to work on this over the interim and perhaps be able to address it. I don't recall a resolution of that. I will check after session today to see what the resolution is, but it is an area where the division understands our legislative interest in this topic of what is fair and what is unfair discrimination. And then let me just give an example of perhaps last week I would have thought it would be fair discrimination, but today I think it's unfair of the insurance discrimination in our own family. My son turned 16 on Saturday. Today he's scheduled to take his driver's exam and will likely pass, and therefore he is now will be in a class of drivers that is at higher risk, you know, 16-year-old male. So now, you know, I look at that and say that's unfair discrimination as opposed to what previously may have been fair because it was in a class. But that's an example, however, where insurance can provide differential treatment and can legitimately do so based on some numbers. And that's the example of what the Division of Insurance has told us is fair discrimination, and they've also told us some of the examples of what unfair discrimination would be. But I believe within that context and that definition, what is offered in Amendment Number 2 is appropriate, and I will be supporting the amendment.
Further debate?
Seeing no further debate,
question before the body, shall Amendment Number 2 pass the Senate? Members, we proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the roll. So by a vote of 10 yeas to 8 nays, Amendment Number 2 has passed the Senate.
I have no further amendments.
Chair Lehman, pamphlet motion.
Move and ask unanimous consent that may substitute Senate Bill 197, rules as amended, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed in final passage.
Without objection, so ordered.
CS for Senate Bill 197, rules amended and act related to health care services provided by and practices of a health maintenance organization, provided that an enrollee in a health maintenance organization has a right to select a treating chiropractor, specifying certain chiropractic health care reports, examinations, and limits on treatment, and prohibiting health maintenance organizations from limiting free speech of health care providers.
Senator Donnelly.
Can we have an at ease?
Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order. Senator Donnelly.
Mr. President, I'd move and ask unanimous consent we turn to second reading for purposes specific Amendment Number 3.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, we're back under second reading.
Amendment Number 3, ask unanimous consent.
Okay. There is objection.
Amendment Number 3 would...
Senator Donnelly, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Amendment Number 3 would delete Section 1. Section 1 of the bill is what inspired Amendment Number 2. Section 1 of the bill is not necessary for the main purposes of the legislation and apparently has led us into, while related, certainly a separate, very significant question that is much more complex than the original scope of the bill. And by adopting Amendment Number 3, we can simply avoid having to deal with that particular issue in this particular bill, which has a lot of other very important and very sound public policy calls in it that have been researched and articulated well.
Further debate. Senator Deccan?
Mr. President, I just wanted to just very briefly mention, I'm going to vote for the motion to rescind Section 1, but I wanted to clarify that there's two separate issues involved in Section 1 now. One of them that I support, one of them that I don't support. I voted against the Senator's amendment on the floor today, but I did support the Senator from North, is it Northeast or Northwest? Mine says Northwest, Anchorage. Anyway, I supported the amendment made in the Rules Committee, so therefore it puts me on the horns of a dilemma, but I will vote to remove Section 1, keeping in mind I still support the original amendment of the Senator who added the amendment to the Rules Committee.
Senator Donnelly.
The leader is right. My list identifies the Senator from Northwest Anchorage as the Senator from Northwest Anchorage.
Is the objection maintained to Amendment Number 3? Hearing no objection, Amendment Number 3 has been adopted. That brings us back to third reading. Is there debate? Seeing no debate, question before the body, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 197 rules amended, pass the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will carry the roll. So by a vote of 17 yeas to 1 nay, committee substitute for Senate Bill 197, rules amended Senate, has passed the Senate.
CS for House Bill Number 137, Labor and Commerce, by the House Labor and Commerce Committee, enactulate the veterinarians, extend the termination day of the Board of Veterinary Examiners, providing an effective date, state affairs, recommends a Senate CS, signed due pass, sent to Green Chair, Senators Miller and Ward. Rules recommends calendar, signed replacement in the calendar, Senator Kelly Chair, Senator Taylor, Lehman, and Ferguson. There is a State Affairs Senate CS.
Senator Green.
Mr. President, I move the State Affairs CS in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the State Affairs Committee substitute has been adopted.
Senate CS for House Bill Number 137, State Affairs. I have no amendments.
Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, I move in that Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 137, State Affairs, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, so ordered.
Senate CS for House Bill 137, State Affairs, inoculating the veterinarians, extending the termination date of the Board of Veterinary Examiners, providing for an effective date.
This is third debate. Seeing no debate, the question before the body, shall Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 137, State Affairs, pass the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the roll. So by a vote of 18 yeas to 0 nays, Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 137, State Affairs, has passed the Senate. Senator Lehman, effective date?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on final passage be considered the vote on the effective date clauses.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I serve notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 197.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on Senate Bill 197.
Citations, honoring Matt Sue College, honoring Darcy Salmon, in memoriam Richard Kincaid.
Senator Lehman.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, so ordered. That brings us down to unfinished business. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. Is Senate Bill 240 still in the possession of the body?
Is Senate Bill 240 still in the
possession? Yes,
Senate Bill 240 is still in possession of the body.
Mr. President, there is a problem in the title of Senate Bill 240, and it is my fault. I apologize to the sponsor. I had requested a title amendment to eliminate gaming, if possible, from the title. The initial title amendment was the one that was offered and adopted. It simply eliminated and gaming. On reflection, the drafter now states, and I have an opinion to this effect, that the title is not totally accurate, and I have another amendment that I would like to offer that is the current version of what the drafter says that we should do with the title. So at this time, I'll be making a motion to rescind our action in adopting, and then I'll be making a motion on the title, which would replace the title with the drafter's current version. I move that the Senate rescind our action in adopting Senate Bill 240, title amendment.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, we have rescinded our action.
We are in third reading on the bill, and a title amendment is in order in third reading. I would move amendment number 2 so that the title would then read... An act repealing the tax on punch boards and certain coin-operated devices and providing for an effective date.
That will stand at ease.
Just for the members' understanding, this title amendment would reverse the previous amendment and change it slightly more. If we don't need to rescind on the previous title amendment. This title amendment, though, engulfs the previous title amendment.
Is there objection to amendment number 3? Hearing no objections, title amendment number 3 has been adopted. That brings us back. We are under debate in third reading. Is there debate? Seeing no debate, the question before the body, shall Senate Bill
240, amended title. Pass the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the roll. So by a vote of 17 yeas to 0 nays, Senate Bill 240, title amendment, has passed the Senate. Chair Lindman, effective date.
I would ask unanimous consent that both the final passage be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. We're still under unfinished business. Is there further unfinished business? Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move. Let me ask first. Is House Bill 296 available for cross-sponsorship?
Yes, it is.
I move that I be shown to cross-sponsor of House Bill 296 and act extending the termination date of the last remaining extension.
Without objection, Senator, you were shown this. Co-sponsor, along with Senator Lehman, Senator Sharp, and myself, Senator Beller. Senator Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move national unanimous consent that I be excused, not subject to the call of the Senate, on Monday, March 2nd, for personal business.
Without objection, so ordered. Also at this time, Senate Bill 191, exchange of state to tide and submerged lands, has picked up a fiscal note as it came out of Community and Regional Affairs. So therefore, I will have to give a finance referral. So it is now currently resides in the Resources Committee. So after Resources, it will have a finance referral. Further unfinished business. Brings us down to announcements. Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, it's been brought to my attention that the North Pole Middle School, probably your district,
yes,
is, I don't know if that's northwest or northeast North Pole, is making a quilt and would like everybody in the body to sign it. There are quilt patches back here by Senator Ward, and there are directions on how to sign and what to put under your name. I'll just caution you, I tried it. I think Gene Veazey said there are plenty of patches so you can practice, and I thought, well, I've signed my name a lot, tried it. It's more difficult than you think because the cloth shifts around, so you'll need to stretch it and do various things, but I think these children would like your signature, so be sure to sign it before you leave today.
Senator Pierce.
The Finance Committee will continue its meeting from this morning at 4:30 this afternoon. I think we should be finished within a half hour. And we're on results-based budgeting, and Eric's executive director will be coming back to do kind of a final overview of all the training programs.
And in coordination with that, there will be a 5 o'clock Senate Majority Caucus in the Budget Office Room. Further announcements? Special orders. Senator Lehman, adjournment.
Move and ask unanimous consent. The Senate stand in adjournment until Tuesday, February 24th at 11 a.m.
Without objection, we stand in adjournment.